Welcome to The Sober Gay, a podcast about being sober in the LGBT community and beyond. I'm your host, Dylan Gay, and yes, that is my real last name. If you'd like to watch today's episode, go to thesobergay.com and click on the Watch tab. Hi, Aubrey.
Hello, Dylan. How is it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am feeling rejuvenated walking from that rain today.
Yeah, we got rain here in Denver today.
We did. No snow. Thank goodness.
No snow. We're done, hopefully.
I think we are. We might have one more. One more up its sleeve somewhere.
Maybe.
I'm excited.
So today we are going to be talking about something that is I keep hearing about over and over again and doing some research on, imposter syndrome. So the basis of imposter syndrome is basically going through actions in your life and not realizing you're there, not realizing what you're doing. Nothing really has a long-lasting effect on you. You're just kind of going through motions, that's kind of my understanding. It's very deep. That's not all it is. It's very deep.
It's kind of more like you feel like you are sober, but you feel like, and I guess I'm going to put it in the terms of sobriety, you feel like you're sober and you are sober, but you don't necessarily like believe that you should be in a way.
Yeah. In the beginning of sobriety, it was like, I was going through the motions. I was feeling really good. And there was something that happened, I want to say maybe around probably 6 or 7 months, where it clicked and the cloud went away or whatever.
That
and it
pink
was
cloud. Yeah.
And it was kind of just like, okay, this is what it is. This is what I've done in the past. These are the things I've done to people, whatever, live with it. And, you know, this is who I am. And, you know, a lot of the things I learn in therapy a lot is to just own it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do what you do, but own it, you know, and that means a lot to.
It really does. It really does. To own the actions that you're doing at the time. And I think owning sobriety it can be hard because it almost feels like it's foreign and it almost feels like you shouldn't have it in a way. I guess I felt that way in the beginning of my sobriety. I think that's a lot of the reason why I did relapse multiple times is I kind of felt this imposter syndrome where I couldn't own sobriety because I didn't feel like I deserved it.
Yeah, you didn't know what you were doing. You were getting sober because people told you to get sober.
Yeah, I was doing it to get sober for other people. I was doing it to get sober for the courts, but at the same time, even though like I felt great and I knew I felt great, there was just something like looming over me that was just like, you aren't worthy of it. You aren't good enough to be sober. And that's kind of like, I guess for me, it was biggest because I had to go to rehab for it. And I felt like I couldn't do it on my own. So I couldn't really get sober. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it wasn't your choice, like in your heart, like,
yeah,
it was someone telling you what you had to do. And when did it click for you? I want to know, because it
honestly
it worked eventually.
And no, and it did. And I think that it clicked for me when I moved to Portland, and I honestly think I needed that shift, that major shift in my life. There was just something that was back home for me that wasn't working. And I think it really clicked when I did go to Portland, and I kind of had this like epiphany of like, I can do whatever I want. And I think I got that feeling because I was able to leave Michigan. I felt like I was free and like I was able to do whatever I wanted. And I was like, okay, I'm not stuck in this cycle of getting drunk at the same places and all this. I could find new like joy out there. And I think that's really what stuck with me, was that I knew there was so much more out there outside of where I was.
Right. And it was almost like you had to get to a point where you could do whatever you want, as in I could go drink right now if I want to, or I could be sober right now. And you have to just get to that point where you're like, yeah, I need to be sober.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I really did need to be sober. And I think, so I went to Portland, left. I relapsed back at home. And that's kind of my main theme, is I tend to relapse back at home. It's just a normal thing for me. Not anymore, thank God. I did relapse, and I ended up in the hospital that weekend. And I was like, I can't. This is so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do this, because I am literally dying. Like, I was dying that night.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, I think that's where I was just like, I hit my rock bottom, is what they always say, you know, hit your rock bottom. And I was like, I need to go back and get help.
Yeah.
And I did. And I felt free again, because I made that decision. I made that call. I wasn't pressured by my parents at that time.
It was your choice. Finally. Yeah. That's the couple first times I got sober, it was someone else's choice. And just doesn't click. It doesn't stick with you. I mean, I understand the courts have the best interest in your mind, and they're hoping it sticks with you. But it's you have to make that decision for yourself.
Everyone really does, and I don't think that it makes you any less of a person to reach out and ask for that help for yourself, you know. And I think that might be the biggest thing, is it's hard for us to reach out because we are loners.
yeah and we don't want to inconvenience anyone and think that, you know, they have to help us, because that's the last thing we want to do. We want to help everyone else. We don't want them to think they have to help us or seem vulnerable like that. That was a big part for me. Yeah.
What was your like defining moment? When did you start? Because I'm trying to get back to like the imposter thing, is like, really, when did you stop feeling like you were going through motions and you could just really be? I know you said the pink cloud was gone and all that, but like, when did you just stop feeling like you were just like doing this like routine every single day and you could just live your life again?
The first thing I could think of was when I was drinking and I felt like an imposter, where it was just like everything I did, I just didn't put my heart into it. I would get big news and I wouldn't care. I would get into a little fender bender here and there. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't care. Not here and there, but you know what I mean? Like things would happen to my car.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't care. It was just like nothing was sticking. And I remember a switch, obviously, when it got closer to when I got sober. And I want to say it was probably that summer, last summer, was when I started like just looking up different sobriety things. And because I just knew that there was a problem with me, but I couldn't, I didn't know where to start. But I mean, because, you know, now that I'm in so deep into sobriety and I'm in therapy and all this stuff, I just know I'm so much easier to pinpoint what was wrong, where it went wrong. But I don't know. I don't know where it was that it switched for me. I just know there was a definitive moment where I was just, everything just, it just clicked. But nothing happened.
Yeah.
It was just like an epiphany.
Yeah. It's almost like this, like, release, the sigh of like, oh, okay, I can move forward now.
It's cathartic.
Yeah.
You can't explain
the
feeling. What about when you were drinking? Did you feel that sense of being an imposter?
Sometimes I felt like I was drinking just to be cool. In a way, I don't really think that I was. I really, you know, I drank because I actually really enjoyed it. But like, there was a part of me that was just like, this makes me look cool, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally.
This makes me look this way, and I think that that's where I felt like an imposter, because it wasn't like, and I felt like I could have stopped, you know, but I never did. And I think that's also where I feel like I wasn't my true self, because I feel like I could have stopped at any time, and I knew. Up here, I knew so well that I was not in a good place, but there was just something down here that was just like, no, it's okay. Like, fuck it.
Right. I would have those moments of clarity at the bar sometimes when I'd be with my friends and we'd all be pounding shots. And it would usually be when it would be me and a group of people and everyone would like take a phone break to like post on Instagram, whatever they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I would probably be teetering around 4 or 5 shots and a couple beers or a couple glasses of wine, whatever. And I would be sitting in the silence And that's when it would kind of hit me of like, what am I doing
yeah.
with my life? Why do I do this every night? Why am I, you know, and it would just, and you'd get out of it. You'd yeah. shake it off and you'd pull up in your phone and distract yourself too, like your friends were doing. But do you know what I would have those moments where like I'm out with all these friends and all of a sudden I'm just like, oh my God, I'm just drunk every fucking night.
Yeah.
Every fucking night, I'm just drunk.
Yep. I kind of got that way just like with the spins and everything. You always have that, like, you'd get the spins and you'd be like, I'm going to stop drinking. I'm not going to do it. No more. I'm done because I'm tired of this. And then the next morning, you're like, fuck, I got that headache. I need a shot.
Yep. And then it's just it's that vicious cycle that we always talk about. It just starts all over again. I'm never going to drink again. And then all of a sudden you start to feel a little bit better and you're like, okay, I can drink now. Yeah. It's like just so. Ugh.
Honestly, drinking made me not who I really was. And I think I feel like maybe that's why drinking made me feel gross and icky, because I feel like the whole time, I guess I was the imposter because that's not who I am.
Yes, I'm learning who I am. Like I was telling you over the weekend, like the smallest thing, I learned my favorite color recently and I've learned my favorite animal. It's just things I never knew about myself because I had always based my personality on other people's personalities and what they liked because I wanted them to like me. So I would be like, oh, I bet they like the color blue. I love blue. Or it's just the stupidest shit where I did that for so long that I didn't know who I was. And now, you know, a year and almost a year and a half into sobriety, I'm like, little things where I'm like, you know what? I love the color orange. And I've always never said that because I feel like I remember people in my past saying that they hated the color orange. And so I felt like I had to cater to them for some reason.
I did the same thing as a kid. I loved the color purple. I still do. It's my favorite color to this day. But I always was like, blue is my favorite color because I didn't want people to think that I like loved this girly color. Like,
yeah.
Here I am, gay and proud now. Fuck yeah, I love purple.
Yeah. So it definitely started at a younger age than just the drinking, I think, just with the being a positive, because but you know, like we've learned before, is like when you start your addiction, you stop aging mentally pretty much. So like I feel like I'm 20 years old again sometimes because that's when I was really starting to drink heavy, and I'm just learning all these things about myself, what makes me tick, what I like, what friends I like to keep close, just little things. I'm learning how to stick up for myself in ways that are more appropriate. And, you know, I don't have to freak out on someone just as the same as I don't have to, you know, get beat up and get piled up on all the time. Mm-hmm. There has to be a little balance there. And I'm learning how to stick up for myself in a respectful way that is, you know, good for everybody. And I'm learning not to put LOL at the end of every sentence. Because I sometimes just have to say something.
It's kind of funny you say that because I feel the same way where I started drinking when I was 17. I just started college. And here I am now 2 years after not drinking. And I am a year and a half away from finishing college, finally. And I'm almost 29 here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like I'm mentally back at that like stage where I was just like, I am back in school as a sophomore or junior, you know, and like I finally am like, I know where I'm at because I've been doing school for these past 10 years, but 8 of them I was drunk.
Yeah. So did you retain any of it?
I retained nothing. So now I feel like this whole new life for me. And you know, I mean, I feel like you've seen how excited I am about where I'm going with my degree. I'm super like thrilled, you know, that I found something that I enjoyed, and I don't think I could have ever found that if I didn't stop drinking, because I mentally would have just been stuck as a 17-year-old my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, I could have never gotten past that. And like, I am still learning. I still feel very immature for my age. Like, and it's because I'm learning how to really focus on me, you know?
Yeah, totally. It's changes. How it goes. I was thinking about things from past relationships and where I felt like I was an imposter. And it's almost sick to think about how long I was in some relationships in my life and just not even there. Mm-hmm. And just, I'm like, wow, I was with so-and-so for like a year and I don't remember one conversation we had. Like, dead ass. Like,
no, I get it. I do.
Don't remember anything we talked about. I don't remember anything that like we shared. We practically lived together.
Yeah.
And I was just drunk all the time. And it's, I'm sure he was a great guy. No,
you
he
stayed
not.
With him for a year.
No, he was not a good. I don't think he was a good.
No,
person.
Not a good guy.
But I mean, who's to say what's good and bad? I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, anyway, the relationships. Like I was saying, I've been through so many relationships where I didn't even know if I was there.
Yeah. No, I can say the same thing. I went through a year and a 2 year relationship where I was sober some of the time, but a lot of the time I wasn't, and I don't remember a lot of the stuff. And you know, that's something that I take to heart now in my relationship, because I don't want that to happen again anymore. I don't want to be in that same situation again, because I want like who I'm with right now, like I care so much for them.
Yeah.
So like I don't want to ever forget anything that I'm doing again.
Yeah. And that's like almost triggering when someone who said that to me, I don't remember, it was a couple weeks ago, someone said something like, don't you remember last night you said something, blah, blah, blah. And it was something because I was like falling asleep or something, but it was like so triggering for someone to say to me, you don't remember last night when you said, I was just like, what?
No, I do remember everything.
I do remember, I swear. But, anyway, that's what made me think about that.
No, it's so true. I never even thought about like the times that people have said that. Like, no, I do remember. Like, I swear, because I do feel that way. Like when people tell me like, you don't remember that, or like, that's not what I said. And I'm like, but it is. And like, part of me is like, I'm so sober now. I have this super sober mind.
Yeah.
And I can remember every fucking thing that's, I'm saying that word a lot. I'm sorry,
it's
everyone.
Okay. It's okay. We're explicit.
We are explicit.
No, but, go what were you saying though?
But yeah, no, I can remember, pretty much everything that's going on throughout the day. Like, so when someone's like, no, you didn't remember that, I'm like, yes, I do. Yeah. Like, that's actually what happened. And I know, but then part of me is like, but maybe I don't. Maybe I have this like weary, like beer brain from 2 years ago or something like that.
Right. I wonder how many events in my life I misremember mm-hmm. because I wasn't there, but I was there. But there's so many events I've like big things that happened to me while I was drunk, you know, like, cause you know, big things happen. You get bad news, you get, you know, all these things, and you might be drunk while it happens. I mean, like my best friend gave birth and I was drunk. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like horrible.
I do understand that. Like, and I used a lot of like excuses for like things that happened to other people for me to drink.
Yeah.
And then another reason for me to forget why I couldn't be there, because I was drunk because of this thing.
Oh my God. I always used to like use the excuse of like, I just have to go home and sleep in my own bed, which really mm-hmm. means I have to go home and drink more mm-hmm. or like I every single time.
I hated staying over people's places because of that reason, because I wanted to go home and drink. And I wanted to just sit and watch what I wanted to watch, because that's, because when I was drunk, I couldn't be in any other like other person's level. It was my own level.
Right. And I knew that I had a mattress protector mm-hmm. on my bed. So if I peed in my bed that night, like I did normally, like I'd be okay. Because how many times did I go to people's houses and piss their bed? So embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
So embarrassing. And so many times people would be like, oh, did you spill water in the bed? Oh, yeah, I must have spilled a water bottle. You should clean that.
Yeah. I remember watching movies and being like, that is such a cool person. They seem great. They're peeing the bed all the time. They're drunk. Yeah. They're funny.
Like, that's hilarious.
And then here I am like, no, God, no, this isn't fun anymore.
Right.
It's not funny.
It's not. And no one's laughing but us at ourselves.
Nope.
Well, I think we could dive into this in another episode for another time too, because there's a lot more to talk about. But for today, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's great for today.
Aubrey, if people want to wear some stuff that has our stuff on it, or if they want to check out show notes or find out anything about us, where can they go?
I think they can go to thesobergay.com.
Yes, lovely. And if you guys like Instagram,
find us at the Sober Gay Podcast
on Instagram. If you have any personal questions or anything for us or anything, email us.
Yeah, reach out, please.
Email us at,
oh, hey, I'm supposed to say something. The Sober Gay. Oh my gosh, this at the Sober Gay at gmail.com.
Yes.
Woo. All got right. there.
Until next time.
Stay sober, girl.